Good morning. Today's reading is taken from the book of Daniel, chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Aspenaz, chief of the court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names: to Daniel, the name Belshazzar; to Hananiah, Shadrach; to Mishael, Meshach; and to Azariah, Abednego. This is the word of the Lord.
All in. Well, that's the series we're in at the moment, the All In series. What happens when God asks you to be all in? You know, what happens when God asks you to trust him with the most precious priorities of your life? Not just some priorities, but the most precious priorities you have. So far, we've looked at characters from the scriptures like Abraham and Joseph, Naomi, Ruth and Job. And we continue to look at some more of those stories from the Bible today. Daniel and the call to be all in continues as we look through all of this. So let's go, Daniel. Well, the story of Daniel is a heroic story of faith and courage. It's one of those stories that we first probably heard while we were in the preschool department of our Sunday school, because we had Daniel on the lion's den. And one of the lessons we can learn from Daniel is to have courage to say no to things that are wrong while standing up for what we know is right. Having the ability to say no to what we know are wrong. Yep, it's look, there's some controversy about this book. I'm very blessed in our church to have Professor Ian Young as part of our congregation, and he's told me a couple of interesting things, because this is one of his favourite books. I don't know why I'm even preaching on it, to be quite honest, because I'm probably going to get an email if he listens to this sermon and he'll go, well, it was good, but you may have missed a few things here and there. But one of the things that's interesting about the book of Daniel is, well, if you take the Catholic version of the Bible, the book of Daniel also has Bell and the Dragon, and the book of Susanna is also part of the book of Daniel. And there's thoughts across the historical aspects of the book of Daniel that maybe there was more than one character called Daniel. There's an interesting thought that there might have been two or three Daniels. Whew. But that doesn't detract from the character of Daniel that we get to deal with in the three different stories we're going to have a quick squiz at today. The first six chapters of the book of Daniel are set in Babylon and tell the story of Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the best and brightest Jews, according to including Daniel and his friends, were taken into captivity when Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon. And he captured Jerusalem around about 605 BC. I think it's really quite interesting. I think it's quite interesting. If you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are the names given to the men when they moved to Babylon. But Daniel is still known by his Hebrew name. It's an interesting one, because his new name was actually Belshazzar. Moving away from home is one thing, but being forced to move 1,500 kilometres away from home to the city of Babylon, which was one of the most worldly cities that ever existed, was something completely different. And one of the most difficult things for Daniel and his friends was to remain faithful to the religious beliefs and values in a city and a country that was full of immorality. And you know, they were taken there into a privileged lifestyle. I would be led to believe that there's a lot of things they could have asked for and requested, and it just would have happened, because they were being wooed by Nebuchadnezzar and his courts, so that they could go and run the people of Israel and be faithful. So, you know, there's the opening up for corruption, there's the opening up for temptation, there's a lot of things. You know, Daniel had grown up in a very turbulent time in history for the nation of Israel. God had allowed Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, to defeat the Israelite nation, and the king then instructed his soldiers to select a number of the most promising young men to bring them back to Babylon, where they would be given the best education possible and prepare them to serve in Nebuchadnezzar's government. As I said, that we refer to Daniel's friends by the names they were given to them when they arrived in Babylon, not the names that they originally had, their Hebrew names. But Daniel, we always seem to come back and we call him by his Hebrew name. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, they're actually heroes of the scriptures as well. Yeah, they're heroes. They have their own story. I'm not going to deal with that in this series, but they stay faithful and they're put into the fiery furnace. But, you know, they're protected in there. But Daniel, he's got his Hebrew name and that's just generally how he's referred to. And some part of me wonders whether the writers of the Hebrew scriptures wanted to make sure that Daniel, who was a prophet, was specifically set aside and kept with his Hebrew name the whole way. Wisdom and courage. You know, someone once said, if courage is the strength to say no, wisdom is the ability of knowing when to say yes and when to say no. Daniel and his friends possessed both wisdom and courage, and they knew when to say no, and they had the courage to stand by their decisions. Not all is bad in Babylon, though, okay? So don't think that when they've gone to Babylon, it's an oppressive time being locked in prison. No. You see, Babylon, not everything that Babylon had on offer was bad. It was the hub of the world. It was Nebuchadnezzar's throne. It was the main city, and it was a main place of trade. It was a main place of governance, and a main place of education. So Daniel accepted the Babylonian education and the Babylonian name of Belshazzar, but he is affectionately Daniel. But he knew when to say no, and when he did, he stood by his decision. So the first test that comes to him is what some people affectionately today would call the Daniel diet. The Daniel diet is, you know, he's not going to have any alcohol. He's only going to have fruit and vegetables. That's it. And so Daniel made up his mind not to defile himself by eating the food and wine given to them by the king. He asked the chief official for permission to eat other things instead. And the chief official is alarmed, absolutely alarmed, and because he's going to be beheaded if Daniel gets skinny and pale and looks weak and unable to continue doing what he's doing. So Daniel says to him, listen, let's do it for 10 days. And if in 10 days' time I don't look better, I don't look healthier, I don't look as nourished, then I'll eat your food. Well, 10 days pass, and the official comes to him, and the chief official, and looks at him and realizes that he looks more healthy than he ever has. He's more nourished than before, and it's a wonderful thing. But here we are, folks. As a regular part of the three-year training program for the young men, they were fed things from the king's table. And this is the challenge for Daniel. The first time Daniel looked at the table, he knew he had a decision to make. The feast that had been prepared for them included food that the Jews were not supposed to eat. So he's trying to adhere to his Jewish traditional laws while still being in this foreign nation and still accepting their leadership and all that they're offering him. But he has to make a decision. Now, Daniel could accept a Babylonian name, but he could not accept a Babylonian diet. He knew when to say no. And he could have said, you know, it's not what goes into your body that matters, but what comes out of the heart that really matters. You know, great little Bible verse there, you like that one. Or he could have said, I'll go along with it until I get my education and then I'll change. Or he may have said, oh, well, when in Babylon, do as the Babylonians do, you know? Or maybe he could have even just said, I'll never see Jerusalem again. So what's the real difference? Who's going to know? Who's going to know? He didn't say that, though. He had the courage to say no and stick with his beliefs. So at what point do we make a decision? What point does Daniel make a decision? What point do you make a decision in your life? If Daniel waits for a life and death decision in order to stand up for his faith, then there's a challenge as to if he has faith at all. If the only reason he's making a faith decision is because if he doesn't, he's going to be put to death, then that's not really a faith decision. He needs to make his faith decision early, which is what he does when it comes to the food. He sits there and says from the outset, it's not until you can go and threaten me with death. Okay, then I'll eat your food. But he doesn't. He sits there and says, no, I've made this decision. It could be said that he's just playing the game and it's only a matter of time before he gets caught. But he shows integrity here as well. And, you know, he actually says to the steward, to the chief steward, he said, hey, just let's wait 10 days and see how I look. If I'm looking okay, then there shouldn't be an issue. So this is the first temptation that he goes through. Does he fully embrace everything that Babylon has to offer him? Does he embrace all of their foods and customs? Or does he stay faithful to his foods and customs and uphold what the scriptures have called him to do? So he does. And then we get to our second challenge for him. The king has a dream. And in his dream, from that time on, Daniel, we've got to understand, from the time after the food and everything else in his education, Daniel becomes a rising star in the king's court. And the next thing, so he comes across King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar is absolutely torn by a dream. Absolutely torn. But a bit like Joseph in Egypt, and Daniel then demonstrates the superiority of God's wisdom over all the other wisdom of the world, and well, all the magicians that Nebuchadnezzar's called on. And the king's so grateful that he gave Daniel and his three friends leadership positions in the government. But these dreams then become more often and more confronting. The king beckons Daniel a number of times to interpret different dreams. And finally, he gets to this dream, which is there's a tree full of shelter and fruit and all the animals flock to it. Then a messenger comes down from the heavens and says, cut it down. And the stump changes from being a man's heart into a beast's heart, and the beast eats the grass of the fields. And the king's really disturbed by this, and he says, Daniel, what does this dream mean? He said, well, here's your choice, king. When it happens, if you come to your senses and realize that God is God and you are not God, if you repent and decide to be a king who reveres God and does justice, who practices righteousness and shows mercy to the weak, then your kingdom will be given back to you. If not, I hope you like the taste of grass, because that's what you're going to be eating for breakfast, lunch and dinner. You know, the king actually takes leave and goes off on his own way and acts like a beast. It says that in chapter 4, verse 34. And he comes to his senses finally and calls God most high over all. He calls God most high over all. The king actually has learnt humility and reality through this experience. But he also revered Daniel for how faithfully Daniel brought God's message to him. See, it could have actually meant that Daniel could have been put to death for saying such harsh words to the king. But the king at this stage now sees Daniel as not just a man who's faithful, but a man who is connected to God. Well, we go on in the book of Daniel, and now we come to the third test. But this third test is now with King Darius. Darius has reorganized Babylon and the empire and decided to take Daniel as one of the highest officials. Predictably, some of the other political leaders in Babylon don't like the fact that it's Daniel who is now in this place. He's a foreigner, and how can a foreigner be in such high office? Some of them devised a plan to get rid of the old man Daniel, because Daniel is now old. He's no longer this young spring chicken. He's an old, wise man who is in the council, the courts of the king. Well, firstly, they tried to find some dirt on him, and I think they probably searched high and low, but then they realized that they were just after something they could use against him and blackmail him into giving up his position of leadership. But they couldn't come up with anything that they could use against Daniel. So, according to the scripture, it says that Daniel was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. The only thing Daniel's enemies could find to use against him was his loyalty and devotion to God. Ah, so here, my brothers and sisters, in the third test, is probably his greatest test. Darius, unfortunately, is tricked. Daniel remains faithful. He knows Darius has been tricked. He knows what the hearts of these other leaders and officials is like. And so Daniel kept his prayers up faithfully, and without hiding the fact that he loved God, and without hiding the fact of how he was praying or where he was praying. He didn't go and hide in a little cupboard and pray. No, he kept praying in a place where he could be publicly seen. So according then to the Persians and the Medes, a royal decree could not be overturned. Darius knew what he had to do, and that Daniel had to have a trip to the lion's den. King Darius, I suspect, did not sleep very well that night. And the next morning, he rushes down to the lion den and cries out, "Did your God deliver you? Did your God save you?" And he opens up the doors, and Daniel looked up at him and said, "Oh, my God sent an angel to shut the mouths of the lions." My God sent an angel to shut the mouths of the lions. You know, folks, my God shuts the lion's mouths even still today. Because there are lions out there that want to devour us and to want to hurt and destroy us and our churches and hurt and destroy our families and our communities. But God is still able to shut the lion's mouths when it needs to be shut. Now, we really don't know much about the rest of Daniel's life. We know that he not only interpreted dreams for others, but also had some dreams and visions of his own. Like the Apostle John on the island of Patmos, Daniel saw visions of what we can often refer to as the end times. These visions are visions that are filled with good news. One of those visions, and I just touch on this because, you know, faithfully it's written down, but one of those visions reveals that the kingdom of God will reign forever and that it will be greater than the kingdoms of Babylon and Rome. According to Daniel's vision, the good will eventually be rewarded and the wicked will finally get what they deserve. Regardless of how it appears at times, God and the forces of good will eventually prevail. This is a story constantly given throughout the whole of the Old Testament, and even through the Psalms and through the books of Lamentations and the like. Looking at the life of Daniel, it should give us courage. It should help us remain strong in the face of temptation. And when we're reminded of what he endured, it should help us take heart and persevere during the dark times of adversity that come our way. It was this kind of courage that Jesus had in mind when he said, "In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world." Yeah, the story of Daniel leads us towards Jesus. Never think that any of these stories don't lead us towards Jesus. All of the Old Testament is a big arrow pointing towards Jesus. So this week, as you're spending some time looking at the scriptures and just pondering who Daniel is, this week, ponder this. May we be like Daniel and remain faithful to God regardless of the temptations and the costs. And may we never hide or compromise our faith. Rather, may we stand firm like Daniel did. May we stand fully firm and be a blessing to our communities that surround us. Amen.